Now going to progress to some steps which are a bit more difficult.
Relax and enjoy yourself.
Ready, set, and begin.
There's something curious about this broadcast.
It tastes quite bad, but it is good for you.
On with the show!
You have got what appears to be a dynamite sound.
That's right.
I'm a skinny little boy from Cleveland, Ohio. Come chase your women and drink your beer.
Now. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only
crazy
Frank.
Oh, yeah, the doctor is in. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is Thursday. Thursday, February the 23rd. In the year of our Lord, 2023. So 2-23-23. In what is likely going to be for a while, the caboose on the Crazy Frank Live thing. And it was something that people have told me to do for years. They're like, oh, man, you should do a podcast. You know what you should do? You should do a podcast. It'll be gold. You should do a podcast. And, you know, I don't know much about podcasting. What when I hear about these podcasts, they seem like very slick productions. They have guests and they have purpose and structure. Everything that I'm not. But I thought, you know what? I'll just rattle on. So I do. I rattle on, and there's a few hundred of you that will listen to this every week. For whatever reason, God bless you guys. And so I've been doing it. I don't always have something to talk about. In fact, I've not listened to any of them, but I got to imagine that over the course of the last year or so that I've been doing this, I'm sure I've covered the same topics multiple times, particularly where it pertains to the origins of KBAC and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just going to go look and see how many of these things we've done. This will be the 67th one. It seems almost a shame to not go to 69. But, you know, increasingly what happens is... somebody's calling me. Hello?
Hey, what's up, Crazy Frank?
How you doing?
All right, man. I'm just sitting here chilling, playing slots, listening to your show.
Okay.
Right on. But you know what? You don't got to be Howard Stern, dude.
I don't know what that means.
No, when you were talking about your show.
Oh.
Doing podcasts and shit.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Right on.
Okay.
All right, well, I'll let you go, buddy. Have a good show.
All right, brother. Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
All right.
There's only so many hours in the day, and I get it that's in my house. I can just come downstairs. But I frequently find myself having to cut time with my daughter short or, you know, other things to come down and do this, and there really doesn't seem to be much of a point to me. Other than a few hundred of you guys like to listen to it, and I appreciate that. you guys, many of you listen, you know, weekday mornings. And I do the show 5 days a week in the morning, and we play music. And do, in fact, quite a few more people listen to that than listen to this. So I, you know, I guess I had hoped that it would somehow drive more traffic to KBAC. It would help KBAC. It would maybe, you know, we'd find an advertiser for, you know. But none of that's happened, and it's, you know, fuck, man. Sometimes I've had to just really inhale my dinner and come run down here so I can do this quasi on time. And I guess I'm not finding it, rewarding to me. I don't, yeah, it's just whatever. I feel like an idiot. More so than I normally do, sitting down here rattling on about God only knows what, especially when I rarely have anything to talk about. Now, there are times when I will do it. There are times when I will just got nothing going on. You know what? I might even do it next Wednesday or next Thursday. I don't know. There are times when I will come down and do it. So I'm not going to say that I'll never do this again. I just am not going to do it regularly scheduled every Thursday on the dot, 7 o'clock. You know, if something happens in the world and I want to rattle on about it long form, well, then I'll, you know. But I'm not going to dig around trying to find things to be pissed off about her. But there's Avis. She's gotten into this. I've got this. I'm still recuperating from this cold thing, too. So, Ava's gotten into this thing where she believes that Lando Calpupian, the 70-some-odd pound Labradoodle, is now her dog. And he has a harness that she has decided that she's going to try to lead him around by. Now, a Labradoodle is probably one of the most chill animals I've ever encountered in my life. The first time I saw a Labradoodle, I was walking into the Dollar Tree, and there was this poodly-looking dog sitting in the passenger seat of a Volkswagen Bug. And it was just sitting there, dopey, tongue hanging out, watching the world go by, not a care in the world. There's other dogs running around and kids running around, all kinds of madness, chaos happening just outside the vehicle. And this dog's level of give-a-fucks were below zero. And it just so happened the gal that drove that car was coming out and getting in the car as I was noticing this. And I said, pardon me, what sort of dog is that? She said, it's a Labradoodle. I said, do you give it some kind of tranquilizer? What's going on? And she says, nope, that's just the way they are. And I thought to myself, boy, I should get a dog like that. Because I've always had, you know, like German Shepherds, and these things are wound really, really fucking tight. German Shepherds are wound super tight. And this dog, almost a vegetable. So anyway, I a couple of years go by, and I get Lando Calpupian, and I got him, I think, just as KBAC was starting, or maybe just before KBAC started. And he's been a fantastic dog. And he puts up with shit from that little girl that I can't even believe the shit this dog puts up with from that. Like, she'll dress him up, and he just stands there like, duh. I mean, you can look at me like, Lando, are you having fun? And he'll look at you like, duh, get me out of this, man. But he's a very laid-back, chill dog. So she's running around now. She's decided it's her dog. And she's running around trying to guide him around like a... He's got this harness. If you have topics to make a podcast, just let people know you have a new podcast available. It doesn't have to be an hour. You just said something similar as I'm typing this. Yeah, and that's probably what I'm going to do. It's been, you know, every day, this is the time we do it, whatever. So, instead, I think what I'll do is just because there'll be times where I think, you know what, I could go down there and do a fucking podcast today. And it doesn't necessarily have to be. It could be any time, any day of the week. You know, I picked a time Thursdays at 7 p.m. because we took a consensus among people who might normally listen. And they said this time worked the best for them. Late enough that they're able to get home from work and have their dinner, whatever. Guys like the chocolate milkman, he's, you know, he's decompressing, you know, doing whatever it is chocolate milkmen do. He's got to go to bed pretty early because he gets up with the cows. So, you know, and it worked out. It was like a happy medium. And some days it works fantastic for me. Then there's other days like that day I came home with that recliner where I am really pushing it to get home. You know, unloading fucking equipment and picking up food. And, you know, I got all these plates in the air and I got to hurry up and get home. And people are like, why do you have to hurry up and get home? Well, I got this podcast. Oh, a podcast, huh? Yeah, it's, you know. Someone says, take more callers. That was shit. I'm not sure what that means. 5 minutes ago. Take more callers. Automate it. Hook up ChatGPT to your broadcaster, and we can listen to the fucking weird musings of your computer. Yeah. That seems like work. I'm not trying to add more work. I think that's the general consensus here. I'm not trying to add more work to my plate. I'm trying to make the best use of my time is kind of where I'm shooting for. Somebody told me earlier that I sounded like Larry King. Hello, Los Angeles. You're on the air. Larry King. I never really watched that show. I wish I could do a good Larry King impersonation, but I never watched that show. I've only seen parodies of it. What I know about the Larry King show have been from parodies of the Larry King show. Wrong! There was one skit, maybe on Saturday Night Live, where they alluded to the fact that Larry King would ask people their opinion on things, people would give their opinion, and he'd shout in their face, wrong! I'm Larry King. Wrong! Don't believe me? Look at my wife. She's smoking hot and 40 years younger than me. And I gotta say, God bless Larry King. God bless that chick that let that fucking mummy guy crawl up on top of her and pound away. God bless that chick. Wonder what she's up to. Because, you know, she's loaded. And she's into old guys. Larry, are you coming home? Throw me the old shriveled weenie. Larry King, you're on the air. It's probably more of a Bernie Sanders meets New York kind of an accent. I don't know. Like I said, never watched it. So it's something that I probably will do. Something that's got me fired up, and I'm going to tell you this right out of the gate. I don't know a lot about this. I don't know a lot about this, but the underpinnings of it annoy me as an American. Hear me out. You feel free to disagree. I am of the opinion, for better or for worse, that I like freedom. The idea of freedom to me is very appealing. To me, freedom means you can do whatever in the fuck you want. You can say whatever in the fuck you want, as long as whatever you say or do doesn't harm anyone in the immediate vicinity. So if you wanted to go out and do something ridiculous in the country and, you know, fire off guns or do crazy shit, as long as you're not putting anybody else in danger as you're doing that, knock yourself out. If you want to be a dude that dresses up like a chick or, you know, whatever, knock yourself out. In my head, that's what America's about. If you want to dance around and say hooray for cock, or, you know, you love the Muslim Brotherhood, or you love Jesus, or you don't love any deity, great. Absolutely. Freedom of speech, Fuck yeah, America. One thing that's always really kind of fucking irritated me as an American is you buy a piece of land. Doesn't make a difference if it's in the city, if it's out in the country, whatever. You buy a piece of land. Now, you're supposed to own this motherfucker, right? This is your land. You bought this land. But you have to go ask for permission to do whatever you want to do with it. In fact, I understand, and I haven't verified this, but I've been told by different sources. Let's say, for the sake of argument, I buy a plot of land in Minnehaha County outside the city limits. But I'm in Minnehaha County. That's the name of the county that we live in currently. I live in currently. I don't know where you live. So you buy a piece of land, and you decide you're going to buy one of these trailer houses and put on it. You're not allowed to do that. Why? Why are you not allowed to do that? If it's your land, you should be able to do whatever the fuck you want on it, right? Oh, no, no, you can't put a trailer house on there. Well, why the fuck can't you? That seems kind of fucked up. Why can't I put a trailer house on my land if I bought a chunk of land? And why do I need a permit? Why the fuck do you need a permit? Why do you need a building permit to build anything? Especially if you live out in a county, in a country somewhere. So what? You build a house for yourself and the fucking thing collapses and it kills you? Whatever. America. This is my philosophy. And if you invite people over and you're like, hey, nice house. And you're like, thanks, I built it myself. And you're like, wow, this three-fingered idiot built a house? Maybe I'm not going to go in there. America. You put your life in your own hands when you go into somebody's house that they built themselves. Just like if I'm going to build a spaceship. It's a homemade spaceship. Want to go for a ride? If it blows up, America, right? I feel very strongly about that. But that's not the way it works. The way it works is you buy a piece of land and you pay tax on it. And you keep paying tax on it until you die or till you get rid of it. You just keep paying tax. And you're paying tax on it with money that you were taxed on when you got the money. So you got and earned the money. You get taxed on it. You buy some groceries. You get taxed on it. And then once a couple of times a year, the county comes along and they tax you for the land you live on. And if you don't pay the taxes, they take the land away from you. But it's always been your land. It doesn't make any fucking sense to me. None whatsoever. I get sales tax. Completely. I even get federal income tax. Completely. Understand it. I also get tax. I understand tax to a degree. If part of that tax handles your, you know, you're connected to the city sewer system or in the water and all that other shit, right? But if you're living out in the fucking boonies somewhere and you got your own well, then why the fuck are they taxing you for your plot of land and telling you that you can't put a trailer house on it? It irritates me. Hang on. No, you know what? I'm not going to take this call because I want to finish this thought. You call back later. I'll let you know when it's safe. Because I don't want to get distracted with some other fucking shit. So, because you never know. When someone's calling to say something about what I'm talking about, or like, hey, how about those Philadelphia Phillies? You just never know. So, there's a guy in town, and I don't know how, I've heard different stories about how this guy made his money. But this guy buys a plot of land somewhere in Sioux Falls with the idea that he's going to build a house on it. But he doesn't have all the money to start building the house right away, but he had the money to buy the land. So he bought the land with the idea of building something on it. And I don't know if the weeds or the grass grew up high or something. I don't know. There was some kind of drama with the neighbors bitching that he's not cutting the grass on the plot of land that he bought. I'm not really sure. Some kind of drama about that. Anyway, the guy starts building the house, and he gets about halfway through building the house, And then he like runs out of money or something happens with his business. So the whole project kind of gets stalled. This has been going on for a while, but this is a really big fucking house. It's somewhere in the neighborhood of $2 million house. It's like this giant ass Tony Soprano's looking house that he built, right? He's working on. So now finally the city of Sioux Falls has said, we're going to come bulldoze your house. And he's like, don't bulldoze my house. And they're like, nope, you need to we're going to bulldoze it. Like at this point, there's nothing the guy can do. He's even found somebody who wants to buy the house the way it sits and promises to finish it by the end of the year. And they're like, nope, no way, we're going to bulldoze it. Even though in the same breath, they're still approving building permits on the site. So he's got a valid building permit with the city ready to come in there and bulldoze his fucking house. And look, don't get me wrong. By all accounts, or many accounts that I've heard, this fella that's building this house, he made his money kind of sketchy. I'm only gleaning this from comments that have been made on these stories that I see. And the comments, you know, because they start painting this guy as a real asshole. But here, that's the thing about America. You can be an asshole. It's not against the law to be an asshole. If he committed a crime, well, then convict him, charge him with a crime. Take him into court. Let him stand in front of a jury of his peers. And let the court system decide if he's a criminal. But if he's not a criminal, you know what? Even if he is a criminal, how is the government going to come along and just bulldoze your fucking house? Now, I suppose I could understand if there were exceptions. Like, for the sake of argument, let's say they had rats and shit living in there, right? Or, you know, it was unsanitary, that like the turd pipes had come loose and is a bubbling cesspool of disease and filth, right? Something like that that's causing a public health concern. Or let's say, and I understand this was a problem at some point, he had like homeless people hanging out in there and crackheads crashing in there. We ran all the crackheads out. So there's no more crackheads. There's no more miscreants. It's just a house under construction. And they're like, yep, nope, sorry. We've given you too many extensions. We're fucking done with you. We're going to bulldoze this motherfucker. And it makes me wonder, why do they have such a hard-on to bulldoze this fucking guy's house? Now, I also understand that there have been contractors that have worked on this house that were never paid. That's a completely different issue. I understand they had some cabinets in there that were repossessed because they came out, they installed the cabinets, then the guys never got paid, so they came back and took the cabinets back out. I understand that was the thing. But none of that explains to me why it's okay for the city to just come along and bulldoze somebody's private property. Now, I get, let's say for the sake of argument, that he's behind on his property tax. Well, if you get so far behind on your property tax, well, then the city ends up, or, you know, the county ends up selling your house at a tax auction. I understand that completely. 1,000%. This guy didn't pay his property tax. He's behind. We don't think he's ever going to make it. Well, then, you know what? Then you reclaim the fucking house and have the sheriff auction it off on the courthouse steps, however they do that. But they haven't done that either. They're just going to come along and bulldoze this guy's house. And it's crazy to think that this happens in the United States of America, the land of the free. And this keeps popping up, and it will continue to keep popping up on my newsfeed. The closer we get to the 27th, which I think is when they're scheduled to start demolition on this dude's house. So I don't know what's going on. Like I said, when I started the rant about it, I haven't done a deep dive. But these news organizations have gotten a hold of the city and said, hey, how the fuck are you going to give this guy a building permit to build new stuff, continue building, when you're also planning on demoing his house? And they were like, yeah, we don't comment on pending litigation, because this dude has now gone to federal court. He went to the state court and said, hey, this is fucked up. And the state court said, nope, city can bulldoze it if they want. Fuck off out of here. America. It's not an eminent domain thing. I knew a guy years ago back in Nebraska. So it's not just a South Dakota thing. Back in Nebraska, I knew this old fella. He was an auctioneer, and he bought an old church. He bought an old church, and he used this as his auction house. And as you might imagine, an auction house place isn't always pretty, you know, because people are bringing their shit to sell off. And sometimes they sell the shit, sometimes the shit doesn't get sold. So if you've ever driven by a general purpose flea market auction, it's got kind of a janky sort of a thing. And the city was trying to get rid of this guy because they just didn't like the way it looked. But I'm kind of the opinion that this is fucking America. And if you own a piece of land, you should be able to do whatever the fuck you want with it. Again, as long as you're not injuring or putting anybody in, you know, clearly you can't just start, you know, dig an open pit fucking sewer system, you know, a hog farm or something right in the middle of town. I understand those. I understand zoning. I understand the purpose of zoning within reason. So then they decided that they were going to try to take this guy's house by what they call eminent, or not his house, but his business, under something called eminent domain. Because it was for the good of the city that they would force this guy to sell. And this old man, look, he was in his 70s. He was just an old man, an old Nebraska farm guy. I fucking love this guy dearly. He's just a good old dude. Living out his golden years, working every day, doing the auctioneer thing. So they came up with this cockamamie bullshit that he had to paint. There was some kind of city ordinance that you had to paint your fucking house or paint your building, whatever it was, that you had to repaint it like once every so often. I don't know what it was, like once every couple years, something. And they told him, look, if you don't follow through with this, then we're going to, I forget what it was they were going to do. But they really, 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 really wanted to bulldoze this guy's fucking place down. Well, now remember, the guy runs an auction. So every time somebody would bring like a half gallon of paint, you know, you get all kinds of oddball shit at these auctions. He'd buy up all the paint that came through there. And he's like, hey, you told me I had to paint this motherfucker every couple of years. You didn't say it had to all be the same color. And he'd just paint until he was out of that color, and he'd switch to another color. And so it was this janky church looked even, because it was his way of saying, fuck you, man, leave me alone. And I bet you if you were to Google Maps this now, the city probably has finally bulldozed that place and who knows, put a fucking dog park or something in there. But, and he was a little, you know, I don't know, like that guy, every now and then, I would stop. I'd say, wait a second. Who am I bidding against? Because this dude would take bids out of the trees, bids off the roof of the adjoining building. He'd be, yep, yep, yep. Like, whoa, wait a second. Who the fuck am I bidding against? I want to know. Who's the person I'm bidding against? And he'd get mad when I do that. Because he knew he was running me up, and he was not bidding against anybody else. He was a shiesty old bastard. There's no question about it. Questionable principles, absolutely. But in America, you should be able to have a chunk of land and do on it whatever the fuck you want. Within reason. I'm not saying he should be able to build a nuclear reactor, you know. I'm not saying that he should be able to build, a 70-story skyscraper on a single plot of land in town. I get that. But he's just one of these many cases I've heard about or know firsthand about over the years where the little guy who scrapes and crawls his way out of the sewer of society trying to make, you know, put his, because really isn't that what everybody's trying to do? You're trying to climb out of the crud and stake your flag on a little plot of land before they finally bury you in the dirt and say, this is mine. I've got something that I can call my own. And then just fucking pay tax on it for the rest of your fucking life, I suppose. But maybe the government doesn't want that. Maybe they just want everybody to live in these fucking apartment buildings. I look around at the stuff that the houses that are for sale around here, and it's absolutely insane. I got a letter in the mail the other day because they, you know, the tax assessment, what they base your taxes on, your property taxes on, or what the assessor decides your house is worth. They decided that the house that I live in right now is worth $96,000, and the property it sits on is worth another $26,000. So it's $119,000 and change. The house that I live in right now, those of you who've driven by my house are thinking, what the fuck? Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't make that up. I don't think my imagination is quite that crazy. So, no, it's the structure, $93,800. The land, $26,000. Assessed value, $119,800. Then down here at the bottom, it says, this year's assessed value has increased over last year's value of $86,600 by 38.34%. So doing absolutely nothing, just sitting here in this house, in a year, it's gone up in value 38.34%. I think they're basing that on what adjacent property has recently sold at. Cranking this up. Because you know what's going to happen eventually. Eventually what's going to happen is the property tax on this joint is going to be more than I'm paying for rent. And the landlord's going to be like, I want him to just sell it to me. I want him to sell it to me. I think I'm tempted to just bulldoze the motherfucker and build. You couldn't bulldoze it and put a trailer house on here. They'd lose their mind. You know, you can't do that. Can't put a trailer house on that. Fucking people. Yeah. Just irritating to me. It's irritating to me that the American dream is, they go on about the American dream, but it's the American dream for certain people. And these, and they're not from here. Those people with that $2 million house that's going to get bulldozed on the 27th. They're from, I don't know, Uzbekistan or something. So they're immigrants to this country. They came here seeking a better life, and they, I don't know how they did it, but they managed to buy a plot of land in a ritzy part of town, and they had $2 million worth of construction happen on that plot of land, only to have the city come along and tell them they're going to tear it down on the 27th, and there's nothing they can do to stop it. It just seems insane to me. It feels like I must be missing something else. But the city doesn't want to talk about it. They don't talk about pending litigation. Anyway, what do we got here? I was checking to see if that dude who called had left a voicemail, but it doesn't appear as though he did. So it's safe to call back if you'd like, whoever that was calling right as I was starting my rant. My rants are like a bowel movement. Some of you might even say they're that shitty. But that's kind of how it is. You sit down to take a shit. You just, you know, you got your pants down. Your buns are touching the seat. You get your phone out. You're going to start scrolling through Facebook, trying to find some memes to steal. And as soon as you start crowning, somebody's like, ah. That's kind of what that phone call was like right then. And I, you know, in the past, I have just answered it willy-nilly, thinking that, oh, well, that's what made me go off on what's-his-face. I wished I'd recorded that. He who shall not be named. And I don't say that because anything that he said. I say that because I'm not giving that particular dude any more free advertising. I considered him a friend, and I thought I kind of went out of my way to promote his digital endeavors. But there comes a point where it's like, okay, then, this isn't your, I'm not your personal fucking advertising thing. You know, I get paid to advertise. The people pay me to reach my audience. It's kind of like the Jerky Boy, right? So you get the Jerky Boy. He makes his jerky. I love the jerky. I tell people, if you like beef jerky, you should check out this fucking Jerky Boy guy. It's, I can't even think of what he calls it now. But if you were to tell me, hey, dude, how do we get a hold of the jerky guy? I would hook you up with his Facebook contact, right? So I think he might have finally created a Facebook page for his jerky. I don't have it handy here, but it's Josh something or other jerky. Josh, I don't know. Anyway, it's fucking good. So, you know, when it comes up, I'll talk about it. And if he were to call periodically and shoot the shit and say, oh, I got a new flavor of jerky. Oh, really? Cool. Tell me a little bit about it, you know, et cetera, right? And then now and then, the guy hooks me up with some jerky. It just is his way of being like, hey, thanks for talking about my jerky, you know. That's all. I don't expect it. I don't think he feels obligated. It's just he's a fucking friend, right? That's what friends do. And that's what I thought of he who shall not be named. And he was constantly launching these different radio streaming online radio stations. Because I had told him he had a friend that was doing something. And I had told him, dude, you're a talented guy. You could do that yourself. Fuck, if I can do it, anybody can do it. I've said that from the get-go. I am an idiot. If I can make this happen, if I can make this quasi, you know, functional, then anybody could do it. But it takes time, and it takes perseverance, and it takes an extraordinary amount of money. That's the truth. No matter how good you are or bad, you know. I think I just got to a point in my life when I was looking around and I saw so many people that sucked at what they did, making a living doing it. I thought, well, all these people suck. Have you ever done that? You've ever ran across somebody that is really successful in their chosen profession and you're thinking to yourself, this guy's a fucking idiot. How the fuck does he even... I could do this. I know it's happened to you, whether it be a plumber or whatever. And you think to yourself, well, fuck, if this guy could do it, anybody could. And that's when you just go ahead and do it. Right? So anyway, I was in the middle of... I might have been the outdoor story of the day, whatever. I'm going on and just... out of the blue, and the guy would start doing this. He would start calling the show, not out of the blue, but in this particular time slot, because he knew I was going to answer the phone, and he knew he was going to get on live. He didn't even have to listen to the show because it was, you know, it was like a, it's kind of like calling in the middle of the outdoor story of the day. So you're doing a Crazy Frank outdoor story of the day. The phone rings. I don't know. I think the guy's calling because he wants to interject something about the story. Oh, that chick that fucked a dolphin. I knew a chick that fucked a dolphin. Whatever it is, right? So that's what happened. You know, the phone rang. I knew who it was. I answered the phone. And it was not, it had nothing to do with chicks fucking dolphins or whatever the story was. It was all about his new Christmas station or whatever. And I was like, do you even listen to the show? I mean, do you even listen to the show? And I think he got mad that I just called him out on it. And then he just, oh my God. Then he started going all over town telling everybody that I had no listeners and that I was full of shit. Well, if I've got no listeners and I'm full of shit, then why in the fuck are you constantly trying to call me and plug your shit on my show if there's nobody listening? Why would you even bother? Why would you even waste your time? But then he made it his mission to run around and tell anybody who would listen what a scumbag son of a bitch I was. God, the guy was just... And the reason it irritated me was because I considered the guy a friend. I wasn't mad. Anger's a secondary emotion, honestly. Anger is a secondary emotion. You have to feel something else before you can feel anger. You have to feel hurt. You have to feel betrayal. You have to feel... maybe you just feel slighted, whatever it is. So the fact that he was doing this, I think the reason why it really bothered me was because I just genuinely considered this guy a friend. I mean, like, not a close bosom buddy friend. I don't have any friends like that. I tend to keep people at arm's length. But I'd gone to have lunch with him a few times. We'd shoot shit. He'd pick my brain about different things. I was happy to share with him my thoughts on things. Take my opinion for what it's worth. You ask me for my opinion, I'll give you my opinion. You may not like it. You may not agree with it. It could even be wrong. In fact, frequently would be wrong. But I'm willing to share it as long as you understand that that's just my opinion. Take it the way you will. But that was an example of somebody who just like randomly call. And it seems like, I don't know if in the last 10 years, the last 10 years of doing radio, I've had anybody call the show and want to talk about whatever it was I was talking about. It's always something completely different. Hey, how about those Phillies, huh? Fuck. They really crushing it this year. I'm not even sure if it's still a baseball team. Anyway. So for years, because I've got another 15 minutes or so to kill. For years, I have heard of people rubbing Vicks on their chest. They get a cold, they get Vicks. Here we go. Hello? Hello?
Hey, Crazy Frank. This is me again. This is Steve in Hartford, Michigan.
How you doing, man?
I heard you talking about properties and shit.
Right.
And I used to own my own trailer on a lake property, and I could walk down and go fishing anytime I wanted.
Right.
Then a landlord took over the park, and he was a dickhead, and I couldn't get along with him. I wanted to beat his ass, so I sold my trailer, moved, and now I got a rental, and I'm out in the country, and I'm happier and shit, and I'm not on a lake. But,
right.
You know, everybody's got issues with properties and trailers and shit, but I'm happy where I'm at now, and
well,
it's nice.
It's nice that you were able to move yours, though, right? Because that happened not long ago. There was a trailer park. A trailer park just north in Baltic, where Gary in Baltic lives. And somebody bought the trailer court and said, y'all got to fucking leave. And some of those trailers, you couldn't move because they drywalled the inside. You know, the trailers had been there for 40 years.
Right, because they're older than 72. Yeah, if they're older than 72, you can't move them.
Right. And even some of the ones you could move, none of the other parks would take them because they were too old.
Right, exactly. That's the shit that was going on,
So I'm glad that you were able to find a place to take your trailer that you could...
Oh, yeah, man, this dude's cool as hell. And the landlord didn't like me because I had my old Sony old-school tuner and Tallboy Sonys and Pioneer plastic car speakers set up in my shed, and I was listening to your show jamming every fucking night when I got home from work, and he didn't like the fucking music.
Oh, fucking guy. What was he, the country guy?
He lived right across the street from me, so he was a real asshole.
Well, it's a shame you don't still live there. I'd have you turn the speakers up so I could say, fuck you!
Yeah, right? I hear you, man. I got you, man, all day, But you know what? I got that same stereo set up in the shed that I rebuilt when I moved here, And I listen to your show in there and fucking rock out every night, dude.
Well, I'm glad to have you with us, brother.
Right on.
All right, man.
All right, man. Well, you be cool, man. Have fun.
You too. Take care.
All right, later.
So, yeah, that's, and again, you know, I guess I understand you. If you buy a trailer court, you can do with the trailer court what you want. But I could never do that. I could never be that guy. I could never buy a trailer court and then come along and tell these people, oh, we're going to build a strip mall here, so you guys have to fucking leave. What kind of person does that? Like, this is what frightens me about, quote unquote, the man. These were law-abiding folks, good folks. This one guy had just spent a bunch of money, and he was just fixing up his trailer. And you know what? God, this could have been me a million times. You run into one of these old trailer parks someplace, and they've got a trailer that they, it used to be you could buy trailers in these trailer parks for $1,500, $2,500. I've known people who bought trailer houses for as little as $500. That's in a park, you know, an older trailer, you know, park, and certainly not a really nice one, not double wide, you know, with a jacuzzi tub. But I know a lot of people who've bought cheap trailers, and then they go in there and they drywall the things and they make them nice and they put new toilets and, you know, make it livable. Some of them you walk in, you think, damn, this is a nice little place. And then one day the landlord, the trailer park manager, gets a wild hair in their ass and they're like, you know what, you gotta go. And a lot of these things haven't been moved since they parked them there in 1968. Frames are maybe less than solid. They're not roadworthy. And even if they are roadworthy, it costs a lot of money to pay these guys to come in and move these trailers around. And then you got to find a place to take them. I don't know what kind of a person can buy a trailer court and then evict everybody there, knowing that people were going to be completely fucked. For a lot of these people, genuinely, their life savings was spent fixing these places up because they figured, well, I get this place fixed up the way I like it, and then when, you know, I get too old to work, I'll get to Social Security, all I got to do is cover the lot rent, and I'm good. That was a lot of people's retirement plan. And I'll stay here till I die in the chair or till they, you know, the state comes along and puts me in a home. But that all went up in smoke when some fucking land developer decides to buy this trailer court and throw everybody out so they could build a strip mall. It turns my stomach. I don't know how a person could do that. And I get when people say, well, it's just business. I'm not from this earth, man. I'm not from this earth that's okay to do. I get capitalism, yay, woohoo, America. It just, oh my God. These people were just completely, and my heart just broke for these people. And it wasn't just one person. There were lots of people in that trailer court that were going to be completely, utterly fucked. And they tell him, yeah, you got 3 months to get this shit together and get the fuck out of here. I think they said they'd give you $500 if you got out in 30 days. You get a $500 bonus for getting your shit out. Always interesting conversation when the caller starts with, I used to own my own trailer. Well, that's more than I could say for myself right now. Man, I tell you what, if I had my own trailer outside of town somewhere, I'd be happier than a pig in shit. As my daddy used to say. Happier than a pig in shit. Because I don't know, man. You just need a warm place to shit. That's what a person needs. Warm place to sleep, and warm and dry. Keep you out of the elements, place to cook food, place to raise your youngins. You know, what else do you really need? But finding that without paying through the nose constantly. You know, people give, you know, like Chuck Brennan bullshit. You know, they give him shit for his predatory lending. Well, isn't rental stuff the same fucking way? Think about this for a second. You got people who have spent $1,500 a month on rent for like the last, I don't know, 10 years. $1,500 a month, $1,200, $1,500 a month they've been spending a month for the last 10 years. And it occurs to them, damn, I could have been paying a mortgage with that. A lot of people listening right now, your mortgage ain't even $1,500 a month. Maybe it's $1,100. Some of you less than that. And so they go to the bank and they say, well, I'd like to buy a house. Can you qualify me for a loan? And they say, no, you're not qualified. How much more qualified do you need to be other than being able to be? See, it's all a fucking... it's all designed to just keep people, and I get it, you know, owning a house, you need to be able to make the house payment. You also need to be able to fix the things that break. Because if you tear the place up, then the bank gets stuck with the house, and they don't want to get stuck with the house. They don't want that. So I understand that. But if you've lived in a place for 10 fucking years and paid $1,200, $1,100, $1,500 a month for rent for 10 fucking years, why would you do it different if you owned the place? You see what I mean? I don't understand that logic at all. And it's one of those things, man. You know, and the other thing that chafes my ass is the people, particularly like in my neighborhood, the mailbox is constantly stuffed with these things. We'll buy your home for cash. No closing costs. You get fastest cash allowed by law. 30 days. You know, a lot of states, you know, there's no inspection required. We don't give a fuck. Why? Because they're going to gut your place, they're going to remodel it, and they're going to double their money at least, maybe triple their money in today's housing market. And these are people who don't even live around here. They're out of Omaha or fuck knows some other place. All they're doing is buying up all the properties they can buy up so they can flip them and cash in. And meanwhile, these are houses that would ordinarily be bought up by people like me. And it's been that way for years. People like me, who probably couldn't go down and just get a house loan because I don't make enough money to probably prove that I could pay the house loan. But you could find a land contract place someplace, you know. You might be able to sell off a bunch of shit and get some money for, you know, enough down payment, do a land contract for deed, whatever you want to call it. But those things have all evaporated because of this greedy-ass housing market. And where it leaves people is stuck. That's now they got to go pay $1,200 a month to go live in a fucking apartment building someplace. And the apartment people don't have any inclination to change it or fix it or do anything different. They're high on the hog. And then you get on that treadmill, and then what do you do? What do these people do? Now you're just stuck there. Harriet here. We're waiting for it to load. Come on, you can do it. Harriet here. The American dream looks awesome compared to many other countries, right? Which I think it's one of the reasons government gets away with the shit that they do. We're still better than the alternative, they would say. Well, I guess it depends. I guess it depends on which way you're looking at it. I don't know that there's another country that I've heard of that I would want to go live in. But in just the 49 years that I've been alive, I can tell you that this country has not been getting better. That's what I can tell you. That American dream, you know, 1950s or so, a guy could go out and get right out of high school, go get a job somewhere. He could buy a home. Can you imagine that? There was a time in this country where just the dude had to go work. And a family, they could buy a home, they could buy a car, they could buy a boat, they could buy all this shit with just one working man's salary. They didn't have to worry about daycare and all this other stuff that goes through people's minds now, because the gal could stay home if she wished and, you know, watch the kids and cook the, you know. That was a thing. That's gone. That doesn't exist in this country anymore. I don't know that that's a step forward. I don't know that that's progress. In just the time that I've been alive. And I think that's still better than the alternative. I don't know. I got people up in Canada might disagree. I don't know that, but we got people from Canada that are moving down here. We got people from here that are moving up to Canada, I suppose. I don't know that many people are moving to Mexico. People are moving out of Mexico pretty quick. All the more perplexing that people vacation there. Like, you're literally vacationing in a place where the native folks are trying to escape. They're risking their lives to get the fuck out of. And you're going there for vacation. Seems weird to me. So, I remember Donald Trump saying, I'm all for immigration, but how come all these immigrants are coming from these shithole countries? He's like, why can't we get the folks, the doctors and the lawyers and the, you know, these kinds of folks, the scientists and all this. And, you know, to a degree we do. But it was funny when he said that. How come these people are all from these shithole countries? And they say, oh, boo, dick. But he's not really that wrong. I'll say this for Donald Trump. He said what was on his mind, whether you liked it or not. You knew where he stood. And I don't know. There's some things that he said that I thought, you know, that kind of makes sense. I don't know. You think he's going to run again? I heard that he was gonna. I thought he made an announcement, but I haven't heard boo from him since. I guess we'll see how that pans out. If it'll be a... My prediction was... my prediction was Republican... ticket would end up being DeSantis and Kristi Noem. That was my prediction. That I didn't think Donald Trump, after his last go-round, I think the wind is kind of out of those sails. I think the people who are, they're Republican, but they're more kind of like traditional Republican-y type people. Their support for their wild card fellow, I think, has waned, and they're looking for somebody a little more less ragey. And I think that DeSantis fellow fits that bill. And then, of course, Kristi Noem's been foaming at the mouth for that. I think what'll happen is Kristi Noem will try to run for president, and then they'll have a couple of debates, and then they'll break off, and then it'll be Noem, and because DeSantis is going to need a chick. Let's face it. He's going to need a chick as a running mate to just really lock that in. Same way, what's his face? Sleepy Joe. Sleepy Joe is like, I don't know. We need a chick. And if she's not white, even better. We need a not white chick. Boom. Tap danced right in there. I told people that was going to happen, and they're like, oh, you're crazy. There's no way. You'll see. Nah, you're crazy. But I said that about Donald Trump. I said, Donald Trump's going to win. Nah, you're crazy. There's no fucking way. No way that guy's going to win. I said, okay, then. Fuck, I called him as the winner. I think what my prediction was, if it was Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton, that Donald Trump was without a doubt going to win. If it was Donald Trump versus Bernie Sanders, I thought Bernie Sanders would win. That was the only way they were going to get a Democrat in there, was if it was Bernie against Donald J. Trump. And so, I mean, it didn't shake out that way, so we can't prove that side of the equation, but I called it. If it's Hillary and Donald Trump. She didn't have a leg to stand on. She was done. Cook, stick a fork in her. I wouldn't be shocked if that broad tried to run again, that Hillary Clinton. No, I can do it. Give me a shot. I was promised that job. I took Bill's shit for all those years. You know the reason why Hillary Clinton took any of that shit from Bill Clinton was because she thought it was going to fuck up her chances of being president. Otherwise, she would have left that guy decades ago. Someone says, I would personally like to see Trump Lake. I guess I don't know who Lake is. Ricky Lake? I don't even know who Lake is. I mean, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, but I don't think Donald Trump's got a snowball's chance in hell. I think the proof in that was when all those people started coming out. Even Mike Pence was like, hey, guess what? I got a book. My book is entitled Donald Trump's Crazy. Or whatever the fuck it was called. You don't say shit like that if you think this guy's got a chance of being president again. That's all there is to that. That was him distancing himself. And I think it was right after those midterm elections. They wanted to see if the candidates that Donald Trump was backing would just landslide out. And that would tell people that Donald Trump still had some political swing. And when all of those people that he backed basically lost their ass, that told them this guy doesn't swing the stick anymore. And as soon as they find out, you know, here's a little story that I'll share that relates to it, and then I'll call it a night for the show. Years ago, my dad was living with this woman, and she had chickens and a goose. I don't know why there was a random goose, but she had a bunch of chickens and a goose. And the goose lived with the chickens in this whole chicken setup. And we go out to get the eggs, but you had to take a squirt gun with you because the goose was afraid of the squirt gun. And you weren't supposed to spray the goose. You were just supposed to let the goose know you had the squirt gun and he would keep his distance. And that way you could get into the chicken house and you could get the chicken eggs and then you could come out. So I went out the first time by myself. And Jan was my dad's girlfriend at the time. She says, take the squirt gun with you. Don't squirt the goose. Don't taunt the goose. Don't be an asshole. Just let the goose know that you've got the squirt gun, get the eggs, and get the hell out of there. So I went out there, and the goose starts rolling up on me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, goose? Well, I've got a squirt gun. And I squirt, squirt, squirt. And I give the goose a good squirt. And I run into the chicken house. And I gather up these eggs, and I come out of the chicken house, and the goose is right there. Like, this goose was ready to just... You could see the evil in this fucking thing's beady little eyes. But I got my squirt gun. What I didn't realize was while I was in there stacking up all these eggs, the little plug had popped out of the squirt gun, and all the remaining water had drained out. So I come out. And I get the squirt, and I'm like 5, 6 years old. I come out with these eggs in the basket, and the goose is there ready to come after me. I'm like, yeah, go ahead, goose. Make my day. And I go to give him a blast. And it's nothing. And I look down, and I look back up, and the goose is like, oh, yeah? And you could hear that music, that wah, wah, wah. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly. And I'm like, fuck, what do I do? And I start to back up slowly towards the gate, and this goose starts running up on me. And I knew this goose, I'm fucked, right? So I whip the squirt gun at the goose. And the goose kind of flaps a little bit. And I turn tail, and I haul an ass out of there. And I can hear this goose going, ah, 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 ah. And then it bites me in the ass. It bit me in the ass, and I cried like a bitch. So the lesson I learned there was that the fear of that, whatever it is, it's that perception that Goose had. The Goose had this perception that if you had this thing in your hand, he shouldn't fuck with you. But the worst thing that you could do was try to swing it, try to squirt it, because if you ended up dry, you were fucking done. You were fucking done. And that's what happened to DJT. He went to swing that stick and came out limp. And then they just, like the geese, like that fucking goose in that pasture that day, in that pen. Like chum in the water. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. We'll see. We'll see. I love The Apprentice. I wish I'd just go back and do that. I really enjoyed that show. You're fired. Anyway, that's my parting thoughts with you. That's going to do it for Crazy Frank Live for tonight. And I might actually be gooch-free next Wednesday or Thursday. So I may or may not do one. It just depends on how I feel. So just keep listening. And if I'm going to do one, I'll mention it that day. Probably mention it that day. Otherwise, don't count on me doing this every Thursday again. You can go back and listen to the past episodes. We've been doing it over a year now. This will be episode number 67. And while I'm not hanging it up completely, I will do these periodically. I'm probably only going to do them if I've really got something to talk about. Something that's really, you know, that is beyond the scope of the regular morning show rants. So, anyway, I thank you all for listening. Thank you for joining me here. Our boy in Michigan was calling again. Carrie Lake is governor of Arizona, I'm being told. This is how much I really pay attention to politics anymore. I don't know. Maybe that's someone to keep an eye on. But I don't know that Trump's got the gas in the tank to get him across the line. What really got him in the White House was the fact that people didn't believe him. They didn't believe. They thought he was a joke. And because they thought he was a joke, he got all this free advertising. Donald Trump got in the White House spending the least amount of money of any of the candidates because he didn't need to. He dominated these news cycle after news cycle after news cycle. And a lot of the stuff that he said made perfect fucking sense. Like when Hillary Clinton in that first debate said, yeah, this guy over here, he don't want to release his tax statements because he didn't pay no taxes. And he comes out and he says, you're right, I didn't. And neither did you, and neither did all you other people. Because of these loopholes that you leave open for your friends. And you're not going to do anything about it because all these people that put you in the office rely on these tax loops. Tax loopholes. I mean, he came out and said, yeah, I am one of these people. I know how the shit works. And these people are all feeding you a line of bullshit. And that was what really lit the fire under him. And his poll numbers started after that. He was a joke. And he showed them that, look, people in this country are fired up about stuff. But then I think he reached a point in his presidency where he might have been drinking his own Kool-Aid a little too much. I think he stopped listening. And this is common with leaders throughout history. When you stop listening to the people who are trying to save your ass and you get this like fucking megalomania, I can't be told what to do, I have all the answers kind of a thing. That's when you end up with your dick in a sling every single fucking time. That's something you can write checks on, take to the bank in cash. You've got to pick people around you who know, and you have to listen to what they have to say. You don't always have to agree with it. But had Donald Trump just shut the fuck up, he would have sailed smoothly into a second term. It was his own mouth that harpooned him. We'll see if it gets him back in again. I wouldn't count on it. If I was a betting man anyway, and it's early in the game, who knows? He may still have some rabbit to pull out of his hat. But anyway, I'll be back bright and early tomorrow at 9 to do the show as normal. And we'll have the Devil's Jukebox tomorrow in the 2 o'clock hour, 2 till 4, brought to you by our friends at New Era Steel, our good buddy Bootalicious. I was going to play the gong, but I was in the middle of getting the ending thing playing. Here we go. There we go. Sound panel gong.
Bootalicious.
fucking typhoid, man. Bootalicious is going to be, he sponsors the Devil's Jukebox. That's in the first hour. Second hour, our good friend Mr. Munch, the Bootalicious Munch Box, whatever you want to call the show, happens tomorrow in the 2 o'clock hour till 4, playing all your requests, no matter what they are, as long as there's something you actually like. And we're going to continue to do that until, well, we'll find out. I guess we'll find out. we'll find out. After the show on Friday, if Bootalicious wants to keep forking the money over for that. But, we'll see. The audience seems to like it. I did not do it last week. I had sewage problems. It was just, thank Christ I've got that handled. Or whichever deity you may or may not subscribe to. Anyway, I'm back at 9 tomorrow, and all right, now I'm going to get the fuck out of here. So have a great, safe evening, everybody, and don't let your meatloaf. Till tomorrow. Peace.
Listening to South Dakota's best rock.
This is K-Back.